Well, hello. Happy Father's Day. So glad you are here. I trust that all of you men are here of your own free will on Father's Day, because as fathers and oftentimes husbands or even boyfriends, if you're still in that category, we can find ourselves doing things for the women in our life that we wouldn't normally do. There is a great Instagram feed that celebrates this fact. It is called Miserable Men. And it takes pictures of dudes that are stuck at malls with their girlfriends or their spouses. And these are hilarious. I just thought for fun I'd show you a few of them. Go ahead and put these up. These are Miserable Men Instagram photos. Check out this dude. Yeah, he's just out. Here's the next one. I think he saw him taking pictures. Yeah, he's miserable and angry. This is one of my favorites. Look at this one right here. She made him bring the dogs and then was like, would you watch Fluffy and Fufu right there? Go ahead and watch it. He doesn't look very happy. There's another one. I think that's at Otay Ranch Town Center, actually. This is the best part. You notice those down there? Just chilling. All right. Go ahead and go to the next one. By far the best ever, okay? Again, notice down here, the shoes are off. The blankets are over. This guy is my hero. That's all I'm saying. At what point did he just go, I don't care anymore, and I'm just going to do me? That's what he did. Now, hopefully, there will be none of that happening in service today. In fact, if you're new around here, we work pretty hard to make sure no dudes are falling asleep. But by all means, if someone does, please take a picture, because I'd love to put that up next week of them. So go ahead and do that. Hey, I want to welcome all of our churches that are joining in, everybody watching online today, our military around the world. Thanks for being a part of this. This has been a great series, 40 Days in the Word, and we are in week number 3. And each week, I just want to remind you of our goal in this series. So if you're taking notes, go ahead and click over there on your app or grab a pen in front of you and grab that paper. But here's the goal of the series. Why are we doing this series? Because our goal is that God would show us the living word through the written word. That's what this series is all about. In other words, that we would have a fresh encounter with Jesus, who in Scripture is called the living word, through the Bible, the written word. One is a tool, one is a goal. And make no mistake about it, the goal here is Jesus. We're not trying to just get deeper into the Bible, like whatever that means. What we're trying to do is we're trying to encounter Jesus in new and fresh ways. And this is a tool. This is not the goal. This is a tool. A relationship with God through his son Jesus, that is the goal. We're not just trying to gain Bible knowledge, we're trying to use Scripture to help us have a relationship with God through his son Jesus. We're not trying to just master the written word, we're trying to let the living word Jesus master us. That's what this series is all about. And each week we're looking at different ways that Scripture, if we allow it to have a place in our life where we apply it, where we work it into our life, we're looking at different ways that impacts us. And here's what we're doing today. Here's the big idea today. You can go and write this down. Today's big idea is this: God's word supernaturally changes me if I will allow it. God's word supernaturally changes me if I will allow it. What we've been learning throughout this series is that the Bible is unlike any other book. And it claims that itself. The Bible claims that it's God-breathed, it's alive, it's powerful, it's truthful, and it's trustworthy to accomplish what it says it will do. In other words, it's supernatural, that God changes things through his word, and if we allow him to, he will change us. If you look on your outline, I just listed a bunch of scriptures there that talk about the supernatural power of God's word. Whether that be speaking creation into existence, changing things with his word. You can read that on your own this week. But here's what I think is true of all of us. There is a supernatural, there is a longing for the supernatural in all of our lives. In other words, I think all of us gravitate to this idea of transformation. I mean, if you look at throughout culture and throughout human history, this idea of kind of superhero type stories, or now, you know, we have movies, because I think we have this God-created longing in all of us for more. that there is more, and that we can be more than we are. There's a new Transformers movie coming out. Any Transformer fans out there? All right, there's a new Transformers movie coming out. I'm a huge Transformer fan, but my Transformer fascination or affection, if you will, goes way back. It doesn't have to do with these new movies, although I like them. My Transformers affection goes back to this. Anybody else? 1980s, baby. How many of you remember the Transformers cartoon? All right, if you raised your hand, that means you're old. That's what that means. Because this was 1984, friends. That's when that came out. A lot of those sitting around you weren't even born yet, and yet we were watching those cartoons. I loved the Transformers, right? Transformers, robots in disguise. Transformers, more than meets the... Yeah, we got some fans here, baby. I love the Transformers. This idea that there are these hidden machines among us that are cars and trucks and planes, and then they would transform this epic battle between Optimus Prime and Megatron from the planet Cybertron. You can tell I was a little into it, okay? But I think, you know, this idea, before you judge me and you're like, dude, what was so cool about cars and trucks that turn into robots? I want you to think back to some of your favorite childhood stories or toys or movies you like. Here's my guess. My guess is there is a level of transformation in those stories. There's some level of this person or this thing was that, and they were able to become or accomplish this. And I think we're drawn to these stories of transformation, these superhero type, you know, this person to some, you know, just looks like an average Peter Parker. But then he has these special skills and we know him as Spider-Man. Look at you. We know more about superheroes than we do the Bible. That's awesome, right? That's why we're doing 40 days in the Word. But we're all drawn to these ideas of transformation, that we can be more, that we can accomplish more. And Scripture is given to us to help us become the person that God created us to be. In other words, to lead us and guide us down a supernatural path of transformation. That's the gift that we have in Scripture. And so here's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to unpack this big idea. And how does Jesus change me through his word? Like, there are some supernatural changes that can happen in you and that can happen in me as we allow the truth found in here to get in here and do its good work. So that's what we're going to unpack today. So let me give you a few of these. Write this down. Number one, how does Jesus change me through his word? Number one, Jesus recreates my life through his word. Jesus recreates my life through his word. Jesus never said he came here to be just a nice little addition to our lives. That was never in the teaching of Jesus. But yet that's what a lot of us do. We treat Jesus like he's, you know, salt and pepper seasoning to our life choices and decisions. We live our way on our terms, and then we think, man, if I can just sprinkle a little Jesus on that, it'll be better and blessed. But that's not what Jesus taught. What Jesus actually taught, and a central claim of Christianity, is that we must be born again. Now, even if you're not a Bible or Jesus person, you probably heard that phrase around church or from preachers or somebody before, but it actually comes from Jesus himself. This isn't on your outline, but if you want to write it down, in John chapter 3, John chapter 3 or John chapter 8, not sure which one that is, but in John chapter 3, Jesus has this interaction with a guy named Nicodemus, who was this religious leader of the day. He knew all the right stuff. He mastered the written word. He knew all the right things. He thought he was doing all the right things. Yet Jesus still looked at him when he asked the question, what do I have to do to have eternal life? Like what do I have to do to be with you? And what Jesus told him was, you have to be born again. In other words, this idea that we have to be recreated into who God originally created us to be. This idea of recreation is also in the book of James. Look at these verses I did put on your outline. James chapter 1 says this, he chose to give birth to us by giving us his true word. And we, out of all of creation, became his prized possession. If you're taking old school notes and you got a pen there, underline, star, circle that little phrase, became his prized possession. So get rid of all filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to, and let's say these last three words out loud, ready, go, save your souls. There's a supernatural power to God's word. We come to new life in Jesus by his word. We keep finding new life in Jesus by believing in his word. You see, when I start believing what God says about me, it recreates the way I see myself. What did I have you underline in star? When you start believing that you as a human being are in fact God's creation, that we are set apart from all other creation. Why? Because we're made in the image of God. This is who we are. And when I start digging into God's word and I regularly read things about who I am in Christ, that I am forgiven, that I am called, that I am gifted, that I am chosen, that I am adopted, that I am a son or a daughter of God now. When I regularly read those things, it recreates the image of myself. It recreates the way that I see others in this world. And it changes the way I even view the current circumstances that I am, that I'm in. This is the power that the Word of God has. Pastor Freddie's going to come and take us through the next few points. As he comes, I want you to write this down. Number two, Jesus eradicates my guilt through his word.
Eradicates. I love this word, eradicates, because it literally means to utterly destroy, to blow up. And so what I understand from this is that God wants to utterly destroy any guilt, any shame, or any regret that I have or I carry. Did you know that God wants to free us from the baggage of guilt? The problem is sometimes we get stuck. We get stuck on memories from the past and memories of when someone has hurt us, and so we carry regret, and then memories of when we've hurt someone else and we carry guilt. But God wants to free us from that. He wants to eradicate any guilt that we carry. You say, well, Freddie, how do you know that? Well, in his word, it tells us this. So I want to take a look at a couple of verses that are usually read at a wedding for how husbands should love their wives. Who doesn't need to hear that, right? But I want us to look carefully at the way these verses end, because we will be able to see how God loves us and what his love does for us. So let's take a look at Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 and 26. It says this: husbands, you must love your wives so deeply, purely, and sacrificially that we can understand it only when we compare it to the love the Anointed One has for his bride, the church. We know he gave himself up completely to make her his own, washing her clean of all her impurity with water and the powerful presence of his word. I want you to underline that phrase, the powerful presence of his word. What is this saying? That when I read God's word, that when I get into this book and I apply the things that are in God's word, it has the power to wash me from the inside out. It washes away the dirt, the grime, the junk, the shame, the guilt, the regrets. There's a cleansing power in this book that when I read it, it removes the guilt out of my life by teaching me the truth of God's love for me. Somebody that I love deeply for years carried shame and guilt because of their divorce. They were taught that marriage is forever, and we know that that's God's best, but early on in their marriage, there was unfaithfulness, there was verbal and physical abuse, and even then, they were still questioning, is this enough to leave? Is this enough to get out? They ended up getting out of that marriage, and yet the scars, the memories, and the guilt lingered. After years of counseling and having support and finally being in a healthy community like Eastlake, they were able to experience the freedom that we read about in God's word. If you look around in this room, there are people who have made difficult decisions, good ones, bad ones, justified, unjustified ones, but yet for whatever reason, there are people in this room that carry guilt. Can I tell you that if you're struggling, get into God's word. Because it's in God's word that you will be able to see how much he loves you, how much he cares for you, how much he has planned for you, and how much he's forgiven you. This isn't in your notes, but you can write on the side of the margin, Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says this: there is now no condemnation. That means none, zero, zip, nada. No condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. It's interesting to me that guilt has a way of pointing to the past. Guilt has a way of pulling us into yesterday. But God's word pulls us out of the past, out of yesterday, and brings us into what God has for us today. Brings us into what God has for us for tomorrow. That is the power of God's word. So Jesus eradicates my guilt through his word. Here's the third way Jesus changes me through his word. You can write this down. Number three, Jesus stimulates my growth through his word. You see, as my faith is activated, Jesus stimulates my growth through his word. A few years ago, my mom discovered that she was anemic, that she was short of iron, that her body wasn't properly producing the right amounts of iron that she needed. And so what she had to do is she had to get iron from the outside and literally put it on the inside. As I was thinking about that, I thought, what a great way to explain how we are when it comes to our spiritual life. We are spiritually anemic. And so we need the iron that is in this book, the iron that is in God's word, we need to put that back into ourselves every single day. Why? Because it is strength for every day. 2 Timothy 3:16 says this: all of scripture is God-breathed. In its inspired voice, we hear useful teaching, rebuke, correction, instruction, and training for a life that is right. In other words, we have everything that we need to take on this life through this word. We have everything that we need to fulfill the purpose that God has for us and in our life. And so what this verse is saying is that there are some key things that the scripture does, that the word of God is useful for. And if we miss it, if we don't spend a little bit of time to actually see what this means, then we can miss how it applies to our life today. So what I want to do is I want to explain these five things. Really, it's four things because two of them are essentially the same. But let's take a closer look at this. It says, this verse says that the scripture is useful for teaching. And teaching is this. Teaching is God showing us the right path. This is when God is saying, yes, way to go. That was the right decision. That was the right thing to do. This is teaching. But the scripture is also good for rebuke. And what is that? This is when God is showing us how to get, this is God showing us how we got off the path. This is when we find ourselves in the ditches of life and God is essentially telling us, ah, oh, come on, you know better than that. That wasn't the right decision. I still have more planned for you. Come on, you shouldn't have made that decision. That's essentially a rebuke. But the scripture is also useful for correction. And correction is God showing us how to get back on the path. This is when God is saying to us, dust yourself off. Get back on the horse. I still have plans for you. This is when he corrects us through his word. And then finally, you have instruction and training. This is when God is showing us how to stay on the path. How to not make the same mistake over and over again. And what's interesting is that with these four things, this is how the Holy Spirit will work through the Bible in our lives. If you spend a little bit of time in God's word, he will speak to you through the Holy Spirit. So on Monday, we may need teaching, a little bit of teaching. But by Friday, I think we could all use a rebuke and correction, right? I'm not an avid bowler, but when I was a youth pastor, I used to take the students bowling. And by the way, when you're a youth pastor, you do some things that you normally wouldn't do, like inviting 200 middle schoolers to have an all-nighter at church, or taking 400 students and 80 leaders up into the mountains for 4 days. You do some things that are crazy, okay? But when I would take them bowling, one of the things I loved to do was I would put bumpers in my lanes, and when I have the bumpers, I can hit 3 or 4 pins solid, all right? But I used to do some crazy challenges. I would put the bumpers and roll the ball and try to zigzag it to see how many pins I could hit. And as I was thinking about this, I thought about something. I realized this, that God's word serves as the bumper for our lives that keeps us out of the gutters. God's word is the bumper that keeps us out of the gutters of life. Out of the gutters of when it comes to sex, out of the gutters when it comes to how we spend our money, out of the gutters when it comes to how we treat our spouse or talk to our kids. God's word keeps us in the lanes of life. God's word keeps us out of the gutters of life and stimulates my growth. Number 4, write this down. Jesus elevates my mood through his word. In other words, he recreates my attitude, my approach to life, my mindset. We can get down in the dumps sometimes and feel discouraged. We can feel as though no one cares, and we have a pity party of one and invite ourselves to it. But here's the deal. Whenever we feel discouraged, whenever we feel like things are not going so great, God's word encourages us. God's word gives us hope. In fact, this book is full of verses, full of stories, of promises, of hope, and perseverance. In fact, I want to show you a verse in Romans 15:4. Listen to this. It says, such things were written in the scriptures long ago to teach us. And the scriptures give us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled. His word gives us hope and encouragement. You see, you don't have to be discouraged or down to let it be a mood elevator. The introvert in me loves to go camping alone. There's something about getting away, being by myself, out in the woods, taking a book, taking my Bible, and just having alone time with God that just recharges my batteries. And so every 3 or 4 months, my wife will tell me, babe, I think you need to connect with God. Go camping, right? And so earlier this week, I was able to go camping. I was out in Cuyamaca. I want to show you some images of that. Let's go to the next one. This was in Stonewall Mountain, hashtag no filter, right? But as I was camping earlier this week, I was doing my morning devotional on Monday. And part of that, I was doing the reading schedule for this series, 40 Days in the Word. And so part of the reading schedule for Monday was reading Joshua chapter 1. And before I read to you a snippet of Joshua, of what I read, I want to give you some context of what's happening. So Moses, the leader of Israel, has just died. And now Joshua is coming into leadership, and God is talking to him, and he speaks these things to Joshua. Joshua chapter 1, verses 5 through 7 says, no man will be able to stand before you, to oppose you as long as you live. Just as I was present with Moses, so will I be with you. I will not fail you or abandon you. Be strong and confident and courageous, for you will give this people as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers, ancestors, to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Dude, when I read that, I was ugly crying. I was at the picnic table, and I was just like, right? Ugly crying, dude, no. But isn't that awesome? Here's why, because the promises are true today for you and for me. God is with us. God will give us strength. God will give us courage. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I need to hear that. Sometimes I struggle with discouragement. Sometimes I struggle with feeling overwhelmed or feeling taken advantage of, and I struggle with discouragement. And let me tell you this, if you're sitting here today and you're struggling with discouragement, let me tell you this, it's okay. It's okay. We're gonna have bad days. We're gonna have bad weeks. There's gonna be seasons that are gonna be bad because the Bible tells us this. But do you wanna know what the difference is? The difference is we have God's word. We have God's promises. And so we don't stay there. We don't park there. We don't camp there. We have God's word and God's promises to get us through the difficult times in life. I've been a pastor for 13 years, and I've seen the worst that life can give and throw at people. I've seen people lose loved ones. I've seen families destroyed by divorce. I've seen cancer wreak havoc in families. And yet, even with these people that have been affected in different ways, I have seen these people have a supernatural growth, a supernatural faith that gets them through. And so my question to you is this, don't you want that? Don't you want that supernatural faith that gets you through the difficult seasons in life? I'm not talking about a phony faith or a fake faith where you're oblivious to the reality of things happening around you, but I'm talking about a supernatural faith that just gets you through it. I know I want that for my life. As Pastor James comes back up, you can write this down. Number 5, Jesus liberates my potential through his word.
There is a God-given purpose for all of our lives. And as I get into God's word and I stay in it, I begin to see that more clearly. The next verse we're going to look at is John chapter 8. I think that's where I was getting the 3 and the 8 confused. Nicodemus is in fact 3. This is John chapter 8. This is one of the most misquoted things that Jesus has ever said. If you're not a Bible person or a Jesus person, I guarantee you know this verse. It shows up in movies. It shows up in pop culture. And here's verse 32 is what is always quoted, where Jesus says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." All right. We not only know superheroes, we know a little Jesus too. That's good. And this is said all the time. But what's never said is verse 31, which is the condition to the promise in verse 32. Verse 32 is a promise, but it is a promise with a condition. And so let's look at the context of the whole thing here. Here's verse 31 and 32. These are the words of Jesus. In fact, this would be a great one for us to read out loud together. Could we do that? All of our churches, patios, parent viewing rooms, ready, begin. "If you hear my voice and abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. You will know the truth, and that truth will give you freedom." In other words, there's a promise. Yes, you can know the truth and you can live in freedom. It will set you free. But there's an if to that. If you hear my teaching, Jesus says, and abide in his word. What does that mean? It means to live it out. It means to apply it. It means to act on it. To let it work its way into the way that you live. That's what abiding in the word is actually talking about there. Think about it like buying a house. Most of us, when we buy a house or bought a house, we say it incorrectly. You see this all the time. Somebody buys a house, a condo, an apartment, whatever, and they'll post something so excited, "We just bought a house." No, you didn't. Unless you paid cash for it, and I don't know too many people that can do that. If you did what most of us do, which got a loan, the correct way to say it is, "I am buying a house for the next 30 years. I haven't bought it yet. I've entered this conditional agreement with a promise that if I make these 40,000 payments, then when I'm 85, I will own the house," right? If then, it is a promise, yes, that is yours, if you make all the payments. Because who owns it right now if it's not paid for? You don't own it. The bank owns it. If you don't believe me, just stop making payments next month and see what happens. Then you'll find out, who really owns this house? You own the debt on the house. That's what I own on my house. I own the debt. I don't really own the house yet. It is a condition with the promise. And I think there's a lot of us who, well-intended, we try to claim these promises. And we say, yes, I know the truth, and the truth will set me free. But we're still living in bondage. If we really look at it, we would go, man, I'm not experiencing the freedom that this talks about. And the goal of this series is to help us live in that freedom, to walk in that freedom, to be the people that God's created us to be, and then do the things that he's created us to do. And we do that supernaturally through his spirit and his presence in us, not through us trying harder, but being transformed into the people that God's created us to be. And how does that happen? By abiding in his word. And so the invitation of this series is to say, if you are a Jesus follower, dig into God's word every day. Jump back into the 40-day plan with us. You say, oh, I got a little bit behind. That's okay. Jump back in and start. It's on the app. You can just click on it and read it. You can pick up a Bible reading plan out at one of our info tables out on the patio if you don't have it from week one or two. But jump into God's word and let it change you. So here's the closing question I want to ask you. As you look back at those five things that we talked about today, here's the ways Jesus changes us through his word. Which one of those five had your name on it? What I mean by that is, which one of those would you say, I could put that to work this week? You've been living with some guilt. You've been living with some shame, holding on to some things from your past. God doesn't hold that over you. Why are you doing it to yourself? Let him set you free from that. Maybe you're at a place in your faith where you go, man, it's kind of stagnant. I don't really feel like I'm growing. Make a decision today. Say, as I jump into God's word, Lord, I believe that you're going to stimulate my growth, that you're going to keep doing your good work in me, that your mercies really are new every morning, new every day, that you're going to show me new things. Maybe you're in a season where you're discouraged, that life has hit you recently and it's hit you hard. And you would say, man, as I jump into God's word, Lord, would you elevate my mood this week? Would I supernaturally be able to live beyond my circumstances? Like, would there be this internal joy that Scripture talks about? Which one of those have your name on it? Everybody reach inside your program, grab that connection card, or click over there on the app. And on the back left side, it says, this week I will. Just write down the number. Which one of those five kind of jumped out to you? Maybe it's the first one. Man, I need my life recreated. I need to be born again. I need to start following Jesus. There's a couple other boxes under there. Today I'm beginning my new life with Christ. I'm restarting my life with Christ. We'd love to pray for you and the spiritual decisions that you're making as a result of what you heard today. On the bottom of here, it says you can share an extended prayer request. Maybe there's something going on in your life significant that you would say, I could use some prayer for, that has nothing to do with what we talked about today. We'd love to pray for you about that. You could write that down as well. In fact, let me pray for all of us right now. Let's pray that God will continue his good work in us through his word. Let's pray. God, I thank you for the truth that is found in your word, and that if we indeed apply it, we let it work its way, not just into our head, but in our heart, and then out into our hands, the way that we live. If we do that, then we know the truth, and the truth will set us free to be and do everything that you've called and created us to be and do. And so, God, help us do that through the power of your Holy Spirit. We're not trying to try harder here. We're trying to be supernaturally changed by you. And so, God, we open ourselves up to your good work. And as we go from this place today, Lord, may we live out these truths in our neighborhoods, at our schools, on our jobs. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.